and he is Mike Broomhead. Good morning. He does have a microphone. I'm sure of it.
There we go. That's better. It is.
Okay.
We got it. All right. Thank you, Jamie. By the way, I can tell the day of the week by the sound
of
your voice.
Yes, I know.
Every week.
I know.
So thanks.
Try and hide that a little bit.
Have a great weekend.
You too.
So we've got so much going on this morning. We're going to talk with just after 9 o'clock, 9:05 as a matter of fact. We're going to speak with Ken Bennett, who is overseeing the election audit. We're going to talk with him. And at 9:35, we're going to talk to the communications director from an organization called We Rising. So it's going to be a big day on the show. More voices, which is what we always want to get. And so we'll talk with them and get an update. Let's start with what's going on with the election audit. There are a lot of questions being asked. Is a lot of this becoming political? Absolutely it is. And I'll be honest with you. You knew this was coming, and everyone should know that there are politics involved in this, but there are also genuine concerns from people. And when you are handling people's secret ballots, people are going to be concerned and they're going to ask questions. And when somebody casts doubt, the people will listen. That's what they were facing with this. So the Senate President Karen Fan was on with the Arizona PBS and was asked about the concerns. She also was asked about irregularities. And I thought this was a pretty wise thing to say about irregularities and what they might find.
Quite honestly, I hope we don't find anything serious. I think we're going to find some irregularities that is going to say, you know what? Yeah, there is this many dead people that voted or this many people that may have voted that don't live here anymore. We're going to find those. We know those exist, but everybody keeps saying you have no proof. Well, maybe we'll get the proof out of this so we can fix those holes that are there. But, you know, I hope there's no fraud there.
And I agree with that sentiment exactly. If there's something that you find that's wrong, but the issue now is going to be, will anybody believe what they say? It may be unfair, but Ryan Macias, who was an observer that went in for the Secretary of State, this is someone who is an expert in auditing in elections and was sent in by the Secretary of State as an observer. So this is what Ryan Macias had to say about observing and what he saw.
These computers were never locked, and I could have actually accessed the files themselves because they were just sitting right on screen. I would say that the security has been broken, and therefore the ballots themselves can no longer be trusted.
Now, that, again, is a bit of an overreach. Let's be honest that the ballots can't be trusted anymore. Does that mean, again, in the minds of a lot of people, that means, well, you know we're going to find something, and you're already setting up the straw man to say that what we found wasn't true. We don't know that either. But people have a legitimate right to be concerned. And to tell you the truth, when you look at all this, it is something that has got people confused. We played a piece of audio. We played a voice of a guy named Jovan Pulitzer yesterday. And he is the person that brought the machines that are looking for the fraud. And I don't know, to be honest, I don't know if his machine's looking for fraud in the ballot or if they're the ones looking for bamboo in the paper. I don't know the difference. I don't know. We're going to ask Ken Bennett. We're going to speak with him about that. But this is another thing that he had to say. This was another comment he made.
All the secrets I've learned over 20 years of being a professional treasure hunter around the globe.
Does that build confidence in people that you're looking at ballots and not looking for treasure? Again, what did we say? I don't want to get back into, I don't want to make people angry, but we said yesterday, it's like national treasure. It's like you've got to get the special glasses from behind the brick over by the Liberty Bell so that you can look at the back of the Declaration of Independence to find what? Treasure.
A map to the treasure.
Right. Yeah.
Do you think there's a treasure map on the back of the ballots?
I don't know. We should find out.
We're going to have to steal the ballots.
Don't say that.
We're going to have to pull a Nicolas Cage.
Don't even joke that way.
I'm going to steal the Declaration.
Oh my gosh. And then we're going to have to use lemon juice and hot breath to see the cipher on the back. In all seriousness, when it comes to this ballot audit, from the beginning of this, I've said if people are not confident, they have a right to be confident. But will this audit, will this build any confidence in anyone? You now hear the Secretary of State saying that we're sending observers in and they don't know what they're doing. You've heard the Observer say themselves that we don't believe security is tight enough. We know they had security issues from the beginning of this, and they say that they fixed those. And I have no reason to doubt that they fixed them. But how serious were the security concerns at the beginning, the issues with the pens? Now we've got another issue coming up that they know that 1 week from today will be their last day for a 5 or 10 day span, and whether or not they're going to get back into the Coliseum, which means they're going to have to move those ballots out of that building to another location, secure them, 24-hour guard and watch, and then bring them back in, set up all their tables, and start over again. So there are a lot of people that are frustrated, and rightfully so. And this is a political game. There's no doubt. Every single person that's involved in this, and I can promise you more from, I would say, Katie Hobbs' point of view and the Democrats' point of view, is they're looking at an election in a year and a half. And the worst case scenario for them is they're going to use this thing as a political football when it comes time for the next election cycle. Anybody that was involved in this count is going to be called into this. Any Republican that supported it, they're going to call out on this. This is going to be a part of that election cycle. So this, I don't know what the, I do know what the goal is. I don't know if they can meet the goal. What are they going to do about the transparency? And what are they going to do about the issues that are there? And I'll tell you, you've got a network that has got 24-hour-a-day surveillance online where you can see what's going on. Does that tell the whole story? Is that what people want? They're saying this is the most transparent audit ever in history. Who are the people that are doing the audit? What are they looking for? How are they looking for it? Those are the questions that a lot of people have that have not been answered. How many ballots have been counted so far? That's a great question. How many ballots to this point? There's 2.1 million ballots out there to be counted. How many have been counted already? And, you know, I've said before, I know a lot of people that are involved in this, and I respect a lot of the people that are involved. I don't believe that Ken Bennett is a liar. I don't think Ken Bennett is a cheater. I don't believe that about him at all, but it's because I know him. And but there are a lot of people out there that don't. And the people that already disagree with this audit are going to call names. I don't even pay attention to those people. I don't pay attention to any of them. But what is being done to show the confidence? Because, again, you got to remember, our governor is one of the people that said, I believe in the Arizona election system. I believe that things were done fairly. So you've got some Republicans in here saying this. And whether they're being accused of being a part of the issue or not, they're saying that what we've seen in the election, we believe, was done transparently and it was done the right way and that there's nothing for Arizona to worry about. Maricopa County denies the subpoena, said that won't release the hardware for election audit over security risks. So this was from early this morning, saying that a Monday letter, they sent it earlier. The story was written this morning or updated this morning, sent to from the Maricopa County Attorney's Office to Ken Bennett that they say, due to an alleged significant security risk to law enforcement data utilized by the Maricopa County Sheriff's Office, as well as numerous federal agencies, they are not turning over certain hardware. They're not going to turn over routers and certain hardware. Now, whether or not they have to, if a judge is going to force them to do that, we'll find out. But right now, this is another kind of hurdle that they have to overcome in this audit process. So, shortly after Arizona's top election officer raised concerns about the Maricopa County election audit process, the Biden Department of Justice piled on. And so that's another thing. The Department of Justice showing that they've got some concerns. Do they have any standing in what Arizona does with its elections? It's all part of this bigger conversation, which we will have coming up in about 35 minutes right now, maybe 40 minutes from right now, with Ken Bennett. He is overseeing this, and he's been gracious enough to come on a couple of other times. And I've got some serious questions for him this morning, so hopefully we'll catch up with him just a little bit after 9 o'clock. Coming up in a moment, we're going to talk about the border issues. His press secretary talks about the border, and I don't think people in Arizona are going to like much what she had to say. I'll let you hear it in just a moment.
Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show. KTAR News, 92.3 FM, and the KTAR News app.
Hey, good Friday morning. Thanks for being here. Yes, coming up in just a few moments, Ken Bennett joins me just after 9 o'clock. So I shouldn't say just in a few moments, about 30 minutes from right now. We'll talk with Mr. Bennett about the audit that's going on at the Coliseum. We still got to talk about immigration issues. As serious as this is, U.S. immigration officers in Arizona have resumed dropping off certain migrants at Greyhound bus stations in Phoenix, rekindling concerns from advocates and elected officials about the practice. We talked yesterday with Senator Sinema about this, except the focus being on the very small towns that don't have resources. We understand that Phoenix has resources, but Phoenix resources are also dwindling. I shouldn't say dwindling. They're also hard to come by because there are so many people that are in need already in the valley. We know as the summer months come on, the need for water, homeless people, it is very dangerous to be homeless anytime, but especially in the summertime here in Phoenix. We know that there is not just homeless people, but hungry people as well. And these agencies and places that house people don't have a lot of beds. And we know that there are people that are just being dropped off within our midst. So Jen Psaki, was on with David Axelrod on his podcast. And she was talking about all of this. She was talking about the border. And you tell me, as someone that lives in Arizona, I don't care what political affiliation you have, does this sound like they are taking the border seriously?
What we've tried to do in general, and thinking about how we use his time, is really think about what the public cares about, right? The public cares about the pandemic, the economy.
Yes.
We're often asked, why doesn't he go to the border? Important issue, we're focused on it. What percentage of the public is focused on the border? A much smaller percentage than who's focused on the pandemic and the economy.
Okay, and so I guess in reality, do I believe that that's true? Would you say the border is number one over those two issues? I don't think it would be for most people. But for people in border states, we understand that immediate action is needed. That doesn't mean that there isn't a crisis at the border. Forest fires are a crisis as well. And when a forest fire happens, you better get on it. And what you should be doing is trying to prevent them, as opposed to waiting until they happen. What happened in California last year, what could happen here in Arizona with the drought that's going on. We should have different rules and laws, which we don't. So in this case, the president hasn't gone to the border. So the other side of that argument is, what are the other things that the president has done? The president went and visited the Carters, went and visited Jimmy and Rosalind Carter. The president's gone and talked to middle school or elementary school kids who told him they loved learning from home because they could cheat at it. So there are plenty of things that the president has done that have not necessarily been number one or number two on the list of priorities. The president's done plenty of things. That was a terrible non-answer, especially if you live in a border state like Arizona, especially if you live in a border town, or if you're somebody that works for ICE or works for Border Patrol, or is a member of the National Guard that's been uprooted from your family again and sent down to the border and taken a huge cut in pay. Then maybe you would think this is something that needs to be handled. The Vice President of the United States, about 45 days ago, was put in charge of figuring out what's going on at the border. She's not said one thing publicly about the border, not one. She was asked about, they were asked about it and said that she's going down to Guatemala, going to go down to the Northern Triangle and Mexico, and then she's going down to Guatemala sometime in June. That's the attention that's being paid to the border situation. In the meantime, here we are climbing out of a pandemic. People in this state, but I'm going to go with just with the, when I say Phoenix, I also should mention the entire valley. People in the valley have been amazingly gracious and benevolent. I keep in touch with people at St. Vincent de Paul. I'm in touch with people at St. Mary's Food Bank. I'm in touch with people all over. And when you look at the graciousness of people in spite of shortfalls in finances, realizing if you're not hungry right now, it's a blessing. And so they're doing a lot more to help the hungry here in the valley. The ones that work with the homeless down at Task, they are overtaxed and are going to be, they know they're going to have more people than ever. And the sentiment we've gotten from them every time we've talked with any of those groups has been, yes, we are working harder than we've ever worked before, but oh my gosh, the people of this valley have been so gracious and will continue to be. But now you're going to pile on top of that people coming into the country illegally. And someone said earlier, we don't know who they are. We don't know what their intentions are. And they're bringing them in and they're dropping them off and just washing their hands of it at bus stations in major cities like Phoenix. I imagine they're doing it in other valley cities. This is where the problem lies. So when you hear a non-answer like that, it shouldn't matter what your political affiliation is. That's the answer from the White House. We're focused on more important things. Sure, we're focused on it, but we're focused on the things that are important, and the border isn't necessarily one of them. Coming up in a moment, We're going to talk with Gatos. It's the big Q poll question of the day. And then we've got Ken Bennett coming up right after that. So I want you to stick around. But first, I want to talk about Sweet James. If you are ever injured to the negligence of somebody else, I say in an accident because that's the most common. Here we have wrecks all over the freeway today. You heard us, heard the announcement about that coming just a few moments ago. Surface streets and the freeways, more people on the roads, more dangerous for you to drive. That's, of course, what everybody thinks about with an accident attorney. But if you're injured by the negligence of somebody else, a slip and fall, a dog bite, whatever it is, Sweet James is there to make sure that you're cared for. One of my favorite stories was a guy here in town that was bitten by a dog and had serious nerve damage done to his hand. He was offered a couple of $1,000 in a settlement. That was it. He called Sweet James, and they had the medical experts looking at him, doctors, short-term care, long-term needs, what was going to happen to him, and how bad the nerve damage was. In the end, the settlement was over $1 million. They don't guarantee outcomes, but you can see the difference in having a great lawyer, and there's none better than Sweet James and the attorneys he's assembled here in Phoenix. SweetJames.com, that's the website, SweetJames.com, or 800-500-5200.
The Gatos Big Q poll question, brought to you by your Valley Toyota dealers.
Hey, happy Friday, Gatos.
Big swole, I'm in the car today. What's happening?
Yeah, I heard you're out running some errands this morning.
I got to go that my hair did. I got to, you know, I got to look pretty. I got to look good. I got to make sure the Gatos locks are nice and clipped.
Yeah, yep, you got to be coiffed.
That's right.
Yep.
That's right. Are you a barber guy or a salon guy?
I am. What do you think I am? I'm a floaty
guy.
You're
a barber guy.
I don't have much left. Uh-huh. No, I tell you what, I've got the best. No offense to anyone else out there, I've got the best barber on the planet. He is just the best at that.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, Scottsdale and Shea, his name is Ariel, and he's like the barber to the stars. Everybody in town, Ducey gets his hair cut there. Muhammad Ali used to get his hair cut by Ariel. He's just the best.
Well, it's not much to do with Ducey's hair. I mean, you know.
Listen, that dude has got the best hair in the business. I'm jealous of the hair of the brother. Mine is falling out rapidly.
Yeah, but you wear a hat all the time, so you're fine. Nobody.
That's why I wear a hat all the time.
Do you want to hear the cue? You want to hear the big question today?
Yeah, because I'd rather do that than complain about my bald head. So, yes, please.
Oh, God. So, New York City is vaccinating tourists at, like, tourist attractions, right?
Okay.
So, like, Times Square, all that kind of stuff. I'm asking which Arizona tourist attraction is best to vaccinate out-of-towners, okay? So I've got a few of these. Of course, you got the Grand Canyon. Tombstone. I mean, who doesn't want to get a J&J at Tombstone? That's awesome.
I'm your Huckleberry.
Route 66.
Okay.
How about getting a shot at Mill Ave?
Yeah, but you know what?
Personal.
I've been to Mill Avenue a few times. There's a few things you should be vaccinated for if you're going down to Mill.
I think you're absolutely right. Well played. Well played. The last one, a tourist attraction to get vaccinated, Detour Dan's Man Cave. I mean, this place is awesome. People come from all over the world to get vaccinated at Detour Dan's Man Cave. So that's going to be my personal favorite.
I've not yet been invited. I'm the new guy on the block here still, so I've not yet been invited to the Man Cave.
Well, you're going to have to, like, put in at least 5 years because, you know,
really?
Nobody. Oh, yeah. He doesn't invite anybody unless you've been there for 5 years.
Oh, good. Well, I'm not going to take it personally. Then it's not just me. It's just kind of an unwritten rule.
Well, that's kind of his excuse, so he doesn't have to invite people like you.
Because they figure I'm not going to last 5 years.
I think you'll probably be around 5 years. Don't worry. Listen, I'll make sure you're safe, buddy.
All right. I've got you.
I know people.
I know you do. All right. Well, Gatos, I love the question. You're right. I think we should pick one, and I think Detour Dan's Man Cave is where we all should meet. So I appreciate the question this morning, and have a good weekend.
All right, Mike. You too. See ya.
All right. So that's Gatos going to get his hair cut. The Big Q poll question of the day brought to you by your Valley Toyota dealers. If New York is doing it at tourist attractions, why can't Arizona? I think that, you know, the other one could be A Mountain. I mean, that's not a bad idea. So you can get over to KTIR.com and you can answer the question there. Important interview coming up. An update on what's happening with the election audit at the Coliseum from the guy that is the liaison for the audit. You're only going to hear it here on the Mike Broomhead Show. You're going to hear it in just a few moments. All the questions people are asking, and going to try to get some answers, going to find out about a count if we can get one. But Ken Bennett is going to join the show. I'm very excited about this because I want to hear from the people that are down there, and we're going to hear from them. That's who's going to talk to us coming up here in just a couple of moments.